In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I thought when first choosing this text that I might ask Dr. Rutt to preach the sermon in Spanish, then thought perhaps maybe we could get Pastor Dreyer to do it in German, and then perhaps somebody else to do it in French, or whatever other languages might be available here in our campus. But then I realized that's exactly the point St. Paul was getting at. Those who understand those languages might benefit from that sermon, but the rest of us would sit there and probably look at the bulletin and see what the announcements are. I was also thinking of asking for a show of hands for those who might have had a charismatic experience in their life, but I didn't want to embarrass anyone, and I thought, you know, this text is about tongues. If I ask people to raise their hands, some of the new people around here are really going to have some strange misconceptions about what this seminary is all about. But I will admit that 9 years ago today, I had my first and only charismatic experience. It was when I stood before the Lord's altar at Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana, and spoke words that I had not been trained in, spoke a language that I have never spoken since, and it was when I said, "I do," and my wife became my wife. I don't mean to trivialize St. Paul's inspired words, nor do I mean to trivialize the Holy Spirit's gift of tongues. But evidently, St. Paul was dealing with, in Corinth, a problem very similar to one that the church is dealing with today. And that is that there is more emphasis placed on the gift than on the giver of the gift. Kind of an ex opera operato kind of an operation. Simply getting credit for doing it. The problem that St. Paul seems to be addressing here is one that my gift is better than your gift, and it makes me a better Christian. Obviously, that was the problem there amongst the folks in Corinth, as they felt, or at least part of them felt, that they were better Christians because they spoke in tongues. Perhaps you've ran into similar groups in your life. But St. Paul puts them in their place politely. I thank Pastor Cage for the thought process that he gave to us yesterday when he told us, or reminded us, through Scripture, that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And here St. Paul often reminds us, or tells us basically, that the gift was not given to build you up, but the gift was given to build the church. And what good does this particular gift that he's addressing, tongues, what good does it do anybody if there's nobody around to interpret? Aren't you glad that we don't have to deal with this problem today anymore? Perhaps many of you have seen the t-shirts, posters, license plates, whatever around with the initials SSDD on them. Same stuff, different day. And that's exactly what it is. It's the same thing. It may not be tongues that is the issue today, but what about, and let's take the seminary in particular, what about, you know, if you're going to be a good pastor, a really good pastor, then you're going to have to chant. How about if you're a real Christian, if you really care about your salvation, then you'll make the sign of the cross at appropriate times. Again, kind of an ex opera operato operation. Simply making you a better Christian by what you do. Well, St. Paul then puts us in our place, as he did the Corinthians. Pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. The law here tells us, stop doing what you're doing. At least stop doing it for the reason that you are doing it. The gifts were given for the building up of the church, not for the building up of yourselves. To this point, we might say that the law has been very explicit in St. Paul's writings. If St. Paul has to tell us to pursue love, to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, then we must not be doing it. We must be pursuing selfish desires and desiring gifts that are not spiritual, or at least desiring gifts for unspiritual reasons. But through these same inspired words at the pen of St. Paul, the Lord gives us the sweetest of gospel. Our seminary motto also comes from the inspired pen of St. Paul. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, in season and out of season. St. Paul in our text says, to desire especially the gift of prophecy. Preach the word. It's that simple. Prophecy is a gift that all can understand. St. Paul addressed that in the second half of the lesson when he said, if a visitor walks into the church and sees everyone prophesying, then he gives thanks to God because he can understand and he sees the gift of God in that place. Whether that preaching might come from the pulpit, whether it might come at the font, or whether it might come at the rail. Our sainted synodical president, the Reverend Dr. Alvin Berry, was fond of saying, keep it simple, Missouri. We don't need to make it difficult. The difficult part of it has been taken care of at Calvary. St. Paul is telling us the same thing. Keep it simple. In our text, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Pursue love. That is the love of Christ as he gave it and as he still gives it in his word and in the sacraments. From his mouth flowed plenteous words of blessed absolution. He told one, rise and walk, your sins are forgiven. He told another, your faith has made you well. And he cried himself, Father, forgive them. From his side flowed the waters that make our scarlet sins as white as snow. That water that drowns the old Adam in us along with all sins and evil desires. That water that daily raises us up to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. From his side flowed the blood that brings life to our sin-parched lips and to our souls. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, the gifts that God gave, the gifts in the way that he gave them, the gifts for the purpose for which he gave them. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.